Philippians 2:5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak with us tonight. And Lord, this is a worthy Bible study, an important goal for us to have in life. And Lord, such good material in just these handful of verses. And so, Lord, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. And so, Lord, this will help us as we set that as our ultimate goal. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think scripture memorization is important. I love the fact that we challenge our young people in every ministry. You can't name a ministry where the children are involved in where we do not and are not challenging them to memorize scripture. It's incorporated in everything. The Sunday school hour, junior church, primary church, and Bible club. A lot of it in Bible club, Wednesday night Bible club. The largest amount, as it should be in our Christian school. We have them longer there. But why are you so sold on it? Because when I attended back 1977, 78, my first year in the Christian school, I memorized one of the portions that Dad chose for our monthly memorization verse was Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 through verse number 11. And it's funny, once you've memorized it and you've committed it to your heart, you say, "Preacher, all these years later," it's not that you necessarily can say it flawlessly, but when you read it, it has a familiarity about it. It's like an old friend. And yes, you know what? I can read it a couple of times and come pretty close, with the Holy Spirit's help, come pretty close to saying it word for word all these years later. "Thine word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And so, boy, I can't say enough. That's not what we're going to teach on tonight. But let me just wave the banner and wave the flag and just say, hey, let's memorize scripture. Amen. You know, we've just set out to do really something very simple that we've challenged the entire church. And Brother Nichols, I've asked him to come up in most services. We come up and we say it together. But you know, monthly, well, preacher, it's hard for me. Then do something hard. Yes. Do something hard. I mean, heaven forbid, if it's hard, we're just supposed to not do it. You know, sometimes it's good for us to do something hard. And I understand, the older you get, the more challenge. Come on, can I get an amen? The more challenging it gets to memorize scripture. By the way, that's why we're putting it in their hearts by the truckload. When they're children, and it becomes a lot easier to them, and that'll always be there. Praise God, that'll always be there. Now, this is an important portion of scripture. I think with a lot of times as I find these familiar friends, as I'm reading through the Bible, these portions of scripture that my dad chose when I was in the Christian school, you know, so many times I see them now, not as an assignment, but I see them with new eyes, and I see them as a pastor would see them. And I could say, boy, I sure know why Dad chose that one. Amen. And one of the most important things that we can learn to do, folks, is to learn to think like Jesus. Amen. To learn to think like Jesus. We're teaching through the book of John right now in our adult auditorium Sunday school class. I'm having the time of my life. I don't know if there's anything that I'd rather teach than the Gospels. I wouldn't be interested in teaching at Bible college level anything except maybe two subjects. If I got a chance to teach life of Christ, and if I got a chance to teach homiletics, I think we need help in that area, then I would probably, maybe one of these days, be open to that. But I love reading the Gospels. I love teaching to the Gospels. Folks, they became very young people. Listen to me. You don't have to wait till you're in your 20s and 30s. to make Jesus your best friend. And I began in my teenage years to pursue Christ, to pursue Christ. I'm becoming very convinced of this, that if you're going to be in this thing long term and it's really going to become meaningful, it has to be that you decide to build a personal, it's so easy to say, it sounds cliche, it's not. Right. If you don't build a personal relationship with right. Jesus Christ, if he doesn't become more to you than just a name right. that's mentioned in church right. or a name that's mentioned at the end of a prayer, then I don't know if you'll be here in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And so that's my passion. Honestly, it became my goal very early in my life. I haven't achieved it. I never will until the second after I die. But I don't want to trade it in for a cheap goal that's easier. Every day we ought to wake up and say, Lord, help me to be like your son. Jesus, help me to be like you. Help me to see what you see. Help me to hear what you would have heard. Help me to feel what you would have felt. Help me to think what you would have thought. Folks, if we make Christ-likeness the goal of the Christian life, then you know what? I think we just go to a whole different level and this thing becomes real in our lives. And so, having said all of that, when we come to a verse like verse number 5 that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, if that is our ultimate goal, all of a sudden our antennas raise here a little bit. And okay, wait a minute, stop. Okay, we're about to have a chance to have the Bible tell us and teach us how Jesus thought, how he thought. Now, folks, we have to have these portions of Scripture if we're going to know, because I wasn't there. And I can't read Christ's mind. Come on, I can't read your mind. You can't read my mind. If I say you need to think like I think, you'd be like, well, help me a little. Okay? Nobody can read each other's mind. And so when we get to a portion of Scripture like this, to me, this gets really exciting. And this also is something that will help me to really just kind of checklist and just say, okay, you know what, folks? We can think very Christ-like, or we can think very fleshly, very easily to have worldly, come on, worldly thinking patterns, and not to have our mind transformed. Come on, by the renewing, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, the only way that you're going to change yourself fundamentally is to change your thinking patterns. And so, man, let's just dive in. I've said enough introduction. I think I've got you here. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Preacher, what kind of mind isn't this? Is this a mind that properly evaluates self? A mind that properly evaluates self. You know, I think one of the most important people to learn is you. Right. Come on, I think I need to know me. I need to know me. Right. And I don't mean with rose-colored glasses. Right. Yes. I mean, I need to know me. Lord, help me to know me. And so one of the things that Jesus did was he properly evaluated himself, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why he didn't think it was robbery? Because he was God. Okay, now we're obviously not going to come to that conclusion in our evaluation, but I think it still teaches us something. Okay, you say, preacher, wait a minute, did I hear you right? Jesus is God? I thought he was just the Son of God. No, he was God. Let me just have you quickly, because I just like reading this portion of Scripture every once in a while. Hebrews chapter 1, let's go there. Hebrews chapter number 1. I used to love to use this when the JFWs used to come knocking on my door. What do you mean JFWs? Jehovah's False Witnesses. The JFWs. And they try to tell me that Jesus wasn't God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, of whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I love this. and being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I shall be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. By the way, we're to worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall worship. And then notice in verse 7, and the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne. Wait a minute. God is saying this. God is saying this. God is saying this to his Son. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And folks, if God the Father looks at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and calls him God, then he's God. Amen. And so a mind that properly evaluates himself. So Jesus said, the Bible says that, you know, he who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so he did some self-evaluating. And so let me just start there, okay? God made each of us as a special creation, and he equipped each of us with the abilities necessary. Boy, this is good to understand. God hath made each of us as a special creation, and equipped each of us with the abilities necessary to accomplish what he created us to do. And that's going to help you if you'll just get that. There's too much of this comparing ourselves among ourselves, which the Bible says is not wise. Okay, and so, well, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this, and, you know, I don't have any talents. I've had Christians tell me that, and I don't have any spiritual gifts. Oh, yes, you do. Yeah, I mean, God just, I fell asleep right in the middle of creating you in your mother's womb. Just forgot to put anything inside of you that allows you. It'd be nice to spend the rest of your life hiding behind that excuse so you don't have to try to do anything for God. But it's a bunch of nonsense. Now, what we're doing sometimes, the reason we kind of get there, honestly, is sometimes we look over and we see somebody and maybe their spiritual gifts or maybe their spiritual talents are a lot more obvious, okay? And so we can see them, and so we can just very easily say, well, he can do this, 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 and this. And I'm looking around, I can't do any of those things. Well, maybe God didn't create you to do those things. Now, let me say that again. It's very important. God made each of us as a special creation, equipped each of us with the abilities necessary to accomplish what he created us to do. Okay? So you, that means you have certain abilities. You've been given a certain education. You have certain life experiences. You have certain spiritual gifts. And it's good for each and every one of us to do what Jesus did here. From time to time, stop and properly evaluate what these things are. You know, here's good questions. Who am I? Who did God make me to be? Okay, not be like anybody else. And there isn't anybody else exactly like you. Okay, what are my God-given talents? These may be more obvious to see other people's, but maybe a lot of the talents, what we call talents or gifts, are things that are not seen. They're not seen. They're not as obvious, okay? What are my spiritual gifts? What do I not know? Now, this is a good one. Am I hiding behind this? What do I not know, but I am capable of learning if I'd put a little effort into it? I don't think Braylon was born playing the violin. I don't think you probably have any videotape of her as a two-year-old just walking around, you know. But sometimes, well, I can't. Well, have you tried anything? You know, I mean, maybe you aren't born with a natural inclination or you're not a prodigy, but with a little work. And I would say this to every Christian. You young people listen to me, but I don't think it's too old for any of us to hear this. You know, folks, listen to me. I just decided early on, if I had an opportunity to learn something that was healthy and holy, and I was able to acquire another ability or talent or, you know, if I could learn something that I could possibly use in God's service down the road, I was going to learn it. I think, you know what, folks, too many of us want to be like that, you know, specialty knife that's in a man's collection that he only uses for one thing. I always thought it'd be smarter just to be a Swiss Army knife. And that way, if God needed me in primary church, I could go do primary church. And if he needed me in junior church, I could go do junior church. And somebody got sick and couldn't show up at the nursing home, it just made sense to me. The more you learn, the better opportunities you're going to have. And the more opportunities I have, the more chance I got to be used. Hey, what I'm saying is don't hem yourself in. Okay, I've been asked this, and I'm going to teach it one of these days, but there's a reason I don't want to. There is anything that's probably taught, that's been traditionally taught wrong in our independent fundamental Baptist churches, it's when somebody teaches on the subject of spiritual gifts. And I've had people who come to me, preacher, you want to teach? Have you ever thought about that? I'm like, yeah, I thought about it. I guess I'll do it one of these days. I'm going to be enthusiastic, you can tell, when I get around. It's a great teaching, but it is so minimal in comparison to so many things that even in that portion of the scripture, Bible says is more important. Okay? But here's the biggest danger of teaching this. Boy, somebody comes with their pad and paper. I can't wait to find out what mine is. Let's see. If you're going to teach it right, you got to pass out an aptitude test. Because there's no way to learn this without an aptitude test. And so you're going to pass this out, and everybody's going to answer these 100 questions, and then I'm going to bring you on here and magically discern exactly what your spiritual gift is. And then forever you're going to be able to say, here is the only thing God created me to do. Why don't you just be a servant? Okay? I mean, I don't want to create a bunch of specialists. I don't want to create a bunch of people and I say, hey, could you know, well, that really doesn't fall within my spiritual gift. Well, I'm sorry, I don't think it takes a spiritual gift to clean a toilet or to go out and park cars or to pick up paper out there in the ditch. And so this, okay, I'm venting a little, all right. Now, but folks, having said all of that, there are things that God has created all of us to have that is more of a natural inclination than maybe somebody else. But don't ever turn that into an excuse not to learn something new. Okay, I did not have a natural inclination to be a soul winner. But the Bible commanded me to be a soul winner. So you know what I did? I went a whole year of college to learn to be a soul winner. I thought it was that important. I have a natural inclination to conduct children's ministries. So you know what I did? I went to a place when I was in Bible college with a man that was very skilled at it. And I stood there in the back and watched him and thought through why he was doing it, how he was doing it. Folks, listen to me. You know what? You can steal talent. You can steal knowledge. You can steal know-how. And so, again, who am I? What are my God-given talents? What are my spiritual gifts? What has God given me at least the raw material to do? And if I put a little effort into it, I could be capable at it. I could be capable at it. And then here's the real question. Am I using these to give glory to God? And so a mind that properly evaluates self. Number two, a mind that refuses to use what you have been given to promote yourself. Now, once you do the self-evaluation, you know, I've talked about the people that kind of feel like, well, I was left out. But sometimes people do a self-evaluation and they have been really gifted with some extra things. Now, wait a minute. Let's read here. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? So just as we can kind of walk around and underestimate what we could be doing for the Lord, we can sometimes look at this and say, you know, we talked about comparing ourselves among ourselves can be discouraged. It can also cause us to be prideful. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, you talk about those talents in the parable of the talents, and one was given one, and one was given two, and one was given five. Folks, I've met five talent Christians. And I'm going to tell you something. They're scary people. Have you ever just had that person you just kind of looked at and said, is there anything they can't do? And Lord, I think, what happened? How did they get the truckload and I got the thimbleful, you know? But the guy that kind of got the truckload, if you're not careful, all of a sudden you get this, I'm so much more important. And boy, I'm telling you, it was a good day in the life of God when he saved me. No, he didn't get much when he saved any of us. But so be careful about that, because Jesus immediately says, okay, I'm going to properly self-evaluate. By the way, it's not robbery for me to declare myself equal with God. And he did so. Come on, our Sunday school class. You know what? He looked at a bunch of Pharisees last week in our Sunday school class and said, before Abraham was, I am. Take that. And he was the I am. So he was honest, and he wasn't over-evaluating himself, and he wasn't, but you know what? Isn't it amazing that here, come on, God came, and the Father saw to it that he was born in a stable. God came, come on, and the Lord saw to it that, watch this, that he was laid in a manger amongst livestock. Come on. God came, and yet he wasn't put in a palace, and he wasn't given to a rich family. God came, and from 12 to 30 years of age, and what he did, he picked up his bucket of tools and followed Joseph out and was a carpenter. Okay, we can learn something, can't we? Just because we have been blessed with maybe more talents or more abilities than someone else does not mean that we should ever, again, come on, get to the point where we're not willing to do anything for the Lord that he would ask us to do. So we're talking about the mindset of Christ, all right? So number one, a mind that properly evaluates self. Number two, a mind that refuses to use what you have been given to promote yourself. And then number three, how about this? A mind that uses who and what you are to serve others. To serve others, okay? And it says in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And so here he does self-evaluation. Come on. And guess what? He can proclaim without apology, I'm God. Think about that. But he not only made himself of no reputation. Remember how many times, folks, by the way, he healed somebody or he cast out devils and he told them, now don't you go tell anybody. Shh. Okay. But shh. Let's just keep this on the down low. All right. Let's not go. You know what? There was going to be a time for him to be exalted. And by the way, we get to this end of this portion of scripture. We won't get that deep. But that's why I read those last handful of verses there. Listen, God has given him a name which is above every name. But you know what? He didn't demand it. And he didn't take advantage of it. And he looked around and said, I'm in the form of flesh. I've been made in the likeness of men. I am God. Look at all these people. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get busy serving people. Come on now. Come on now, folks, think about that. Instead of using his abilities for self-promotion, and he could have done that, he instead used them for humble service. Now, I've been to almost every Bible college out there and watched, either someone from our church or a family member or a friend graduate. But I'll never forget the couple times that I went to Crown College, Bethany. I went to Bethany's graduation when she was at Crown College. And let me just tell you something, folks. I like something they do there. I like something they do. Because these young people, they surrender and they go and they prepare to serve the Lord. And they get all their schooling and now they're about to become a college graduate. Some of them are getting bachelor's and some of them are getting master's. And some of them are getting whatever's above master's. And I don't know because I never had those aspirations. And maybe even a couple of PhDs. And all of a sudden, here they come to get their diploma, and Clarence Sexton hands them their diploma and hands them a towel. You know, if you're not careful, education can ruin you. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. It's a very, very dangerous thing, you know, to say, you know, well, I know this, and I know this, and I've learned this, and I've learned this, and I've taken this course, and I've taken this, and I've got this degree, and next thing you know, okay. Well, why did you do all of that? You say, why would he hand him a towel, preacher? Because, you know, the last thing that Jesus did in the upper room before he left with his disciples to walk to Gethsemane, where he would be arrested, falsely accused, beaten, and then hung on a little, the last thing he did was he got a pan of water and he got a towel. This is Jesus. Hey, big shot, this is Jesus. Hey, I'm too good to show up to this. This is Jesus. Hey, that job in the church is so beneath me. Other people need to do that. This is Jesus. I'm talking about some of you never swept a bus out before, never cleaned a toilet before. Thank God. I don't know who does it every week because, not every week, but when it happens, this is one thing I can say I've never done in church. Cleaned up vomit. Maybe if I tried to clean up vomit, I might just be adding to the problem. I've cleaned it up at home. Don't look at me that way. Come on. Come on. If you haven't been, come on. Elbow deep in vomit, you haven't had kids, all right? And you know, tell you the worst type of vomit is, hey. I'm sorry. I think, this is Jerry Ross' opinion, no Bible for it. You know, I say it every once in a while. You know, will there be any stars in my crown? Every time you've cleaned up vomit, there is a star. And there has got to be a star in your crown every time you've cleaned up vomit. Man alive. All right. You know what? Jesus, we're talking about Jesus. Gets a pan of water. Come on, folks. Gets on his, this is the Son of God. This is God the Son. This is the one who spoke and created everything that we see. And he could crawl around on the floor and he could take a pan of water and a towel and take the disciples' feet and tenderly wash them. And then he stood up and said, you know why I did that? Because if I can do it for you, you ought to be able to go do it for anybody. So think about that. A mind that uses what, who and what you are to serve others. Number four, a mind that learns to identify with those you are serving. A mind that learns to identify with those you are serving. Now, let me give you something. Well, this is a good point here. If you'll notice the wording here. By the way, don't you love the Bible when we slow down and just look at it? It says in verse 7, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. What was the last phrase? Let's not jump over it. And was made in the what? Likeness of men. I want to tell you a real secret to ministry. I'm going to give it to you real quick. Matter of fact, let me have you go over there. Mark your place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is worth the couple minutes we'll invest in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to give you a real secret to ministry and a real secret to being successful in ministry. You know why Jesus, you know why people flocked to hear Jesus? You know why people was open to Jesus and listened to Jesus and connected with Jesus? You know what? He was made in the likeness of men. Now we say this, we say, you know, was Jesus, he was the Son of God and he was the Son of man. So how does that work? And everybody wants to break it down to percentage. You know, he's 50% man, 50% God. No, he's 100% God and 100% man. Okay, that's 200%. That's my Jesus, okay? But you know what? He could be human and still never lay aside his deity. And you know what? In order to help us, he became us. Now, that's pretty awesome. In order to help us, he was willing to become us. Now in 1 Corinthians 9, are you there? Verse 19, let's look at this. Boy, this is powerful. Paul said, I think Paul was pretty effective. And he went to a lot of different cultures, a lot of different types of cities, a lot of different people groups. And he was very successful at reaching people. Now watch this. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself unto how many? That I might gain the more. All that I might gain the more. Verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them with that are under the law. To them that are without law, among Gentiles, as without law. Be not without law to God, but under the law, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake. Why did he do this? So that he could better transfer the gospel. You know, people are not going to listen to you a lot of times until they feel like that you really understand. Now, well, let me just help you with this, okay? So why is it that some men, you know, I'm seeing Brother Gordon standing there, our security guard back there, you know, and I could call Chad Gordon tomorrow and say, just about have any hole in this ministry for one Sunday, and he could fill it. Okay. And you say, well, I'm not Chad Gordon. I'm not Chad Gordon. And ask you to be Chad Gordon. You don't have to be Chad Gordon. But I appreciate the fact that he said, you know what? I have been given the capabilities. All I got to do is develop those. You got to put some work into something, folks. So tired about everybody telling me what they can't do. Well, let me ask you a question. Why can't you? First of all, have you ever tried? Second, have you put a second's effort into learning? Are you humble enough to just go watch somebody that actually is good at it? Most areas of service to God is not rocket science. It just takes somebody with a servant's heart and a willingness to watch this. Lose what? Lose yourself. Isn't that what he's saying here? Well, Paul could have said, listen, you know what? I'm formerly Saul of Tarsus. I was raised a certain way, Pharisees of the Pharisees. This is my training. This is my background. And the only people that I'm equipped to reach are people that were just like me. And he would have been very ineffective. He wouldn't have accomplished even that much compared to what God used him to accomplish. So here's what he did. He said, okay, now I'm going to go reach the Jews. God's told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all nations. All right. So if I'm going to win Jews, I've got to think. And by the way, he was a Jew. I'm sure it helped. We're going to meet some folks here, okay, in a couple weeks who aren't Jews, but they're willing to put the time in to learn how to reach Jews. Okay, so Paul said, you know what? Here's the thing, all right? I've got to understand. I've got to understand the way they are raised. I've got to understand the way they're taught, what they've learned in the synagogue. I've got to understand the roadblocks, the mental roadblocks that the devil set up between them and their willingness to really embrace Christ as the Messiah. And I've got to learn how to remove those roadblocks so that I can get them to Christ. So I've got to think like a Jew. Now, this is so basic. But by the way, he also went to a lot of Gentile cities. So guess what he had to do? Okay, all right, now these are Gentiles. And then he had to identify what nationality and what groups of people are there. And how do they think? This is what every missionary that's out there that was raised in the United States of America, if they go to another country and they try to reach them with an American mindset, they will fail. Okay? So if you're going to reach Cambodians, you've got to become a Cambodian. You got to learn to think like one. You got to take the time to understand them. Okay? Come on, us Americans, we're snobs. There's a reason that if an American travels the world, we're not liked. Because we think the whole world, as soon as we land in whatever country, is supposed to speak our language and act like us. All right? Well, you're not in your home court anymore. You're in their country. Is this good for us? Now, you say, preacher, I'm probably not going to be a missionary. Okay, then how do you reach kids? You know what? You got to lose your... By the way, you used to be one. It's just been so long ago for some of us that we've kind of forgot. But hey, effective children's workers never forget. Okay? Well, I just can't work with teens. Well, you used to be one. And again, I'm not saying everybody, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to take a square peg and stick it in a round hole, but I'm just thinking sometimes, couldn't we take a pocket knife and shave some of the edges off? I mean, we may not be a perfect fit for anything, but couldn't we just learn? Listen, the more you're willing to learn, think about this. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Nursing homes, there's a need there. For some of y'all, you say, preacher, I'm not high energy and I can't. Well, it don't take a lot of energy to wander up and down a hallway, walk in a room, pull up a chair and get to know somebody. Okay, but if you're going to be effective, then you know what you have to do? You have to take a little bit of time to think, what would it be like, come on, 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this is my life. And if somebody walked through that door, what do I need? Come on, this comes, you learn this through humility. He made himself no reputation. He humbled himself. You know what? I'm not going to just, listen, all right. Jerry Ross, just give you an example. And again, I'm not trying to put Jerry Ross on a pedestal. But I did learn something real quick. You cannot be from Jacksonville, Indiana, and be thrown into inner city Chicago and reach those kids like you would reach Greene County people. And I will tell you right now, they are not willing to hear one thing you say if you're not willing to figure out who they are. And if all you do is walk around going, how y'all live like this? I'm going to tell you, back home, I was raised on a 24-acre farm. Why y'all talk like that? What's wrong with you? You don't have a chance. Come on. Come on. So any people group that I want to be effective at working, what I've got to do is I've got to say, you know what? I got to do what Jesus did. He said he was made in the likeness of men. You know why that was part of God's plan? Because he's here to seek and to save that which was lost. He was here to reach men. To reach men. He had to go and reach that fisherman without having ever been a fisherman. He needed to be able to over and reach that tax collector without ever having been a tax collector. He had to be able to go and reach Nicodemus. And Jesus had never been brought up as a Pharisee into the Sanhedrin. Folks, listen, isn't this good for us? Jesus, man, he was effective. Let me give you the last one. A mind, number five, a mind that disciplines itself in humility. Disciplines himself in humility. And I think that's what, if you notice, on every one of these, we kind of keep coming back to that common thread. But it says he humbled himself there. He humbled himself. And we have to understand, folks, that I think the thing that's standing between us and effectiveness in our ministries is a lot of times pride. It's just an unwillingness. You know, you're pastor, okay? And by the way, I'm older, but I'm not old. I play it up a lot. I think I'm in remarkable shape for a 64-year-old. Come on, 3.5 years of cancer. I could go through the list. Here we are. But listen, I'm not saying things are as easy as they used to be. You watch how many times on a Sunday this preacher talking to a child will get down on one knee and talk to that child. Okay? That's humbling. Now, some of you, I'm looking around, don't try it. And there's a rumor going around. It's just a rumor. I wasn't here. I missed that Sunday. But somebody, it's probably a rumor, it can't be true, said that Bonnie Scales turned 70. 70. I didn't even know people could get that old. I mean, there's what I'm saying is this. I'm trying to be a blessing. I'm not succeeding, but I'm trying to. Hey, you know what? She still goes in that nursery and carries those babies around, helps with babies. And I talked to her the other day and I said, you know, how much longer? Oh, preacher, I love the babies back there. I said this, well, you remember Betty Townsley? She got to an age where she couldn't carry them and she couldn't hold them and she couldn't pick them up. So she just said, you know, I could go back and sit in a rocking chair. And if one of them started crying and needed rocked, you could just hand them to me. You know what that's called? Being a servant. That's called stop coming up with the reasons why you can't. And start figuring out why and how you can do more for Jesus Christ than you're doing. Well, let's shut it down. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. I'm preaching to the choir, Wednesday night church. I look all over our auditorium, hardly a person that's not busy serving the Lord. And so, Lord, this is not, Lord, a message that we're bringing, dear God, to get something started. I think it's a message we're bringing to keep something going. But Lord, we need to get this mindset into our young people's hearts and minds at the earliest of ages, the earliest of ages. Just be willing. Just be willing. Just sign up. Well, I don't even know if I can. Well, just go try. Well, I've never done it before. Well, when's the last time you did something for the first time? Let's go. And Lord, as long as we come into, Lord, the ministry and the work of God with that enthusiasm and here's the word we kept going by. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this humility. The willingness to take upon yourself the form of a servant. The willingness to meet people where they were. The willingness to connect. And Paul, the example of Paul. He said, I became all things to all men that I might win some. And I've got to figure people out. I've got to think about where they came from. And Lord, I pray, dear God, some of our young people have been raised, they know nothing but being in a Christian home. They are so blessed. But they need to start thinking about what it would be like to be a bus kid. What if they didn't have that? And how could they better connect with some of these kids around here if they just decided to humble themselves a little bit? Heavenly Father, there's so many ways we could apply this. And you're much better at that part than I am. So, Lord, we're going to go into our invitation time. Speak to us. May this be the type of message we don't just leave in the pew here and take it home, ponder it, think it through, evaluate ourselves, self-evaluation. Lord, what am I doing and what could I be doing if I just adopted the mindset of Jesus Christ?